Hadn't the Lord been good to us? I bless His name. Thank God for it. 2 Samuel and the 6th chapter. Lord God, we thank You for Calvary. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the Holy Ghost. Our Father, I pray that You would bless us tonight. Break us tonight. Breathe on us tonight. Brood over us tonight. God, we'll be careful to thank You for it. Illuminate my mind, Lord God. And may every scripture and every train of thought and every stream of spiritual consciousness, Lord, come from Thee. Bring to mind the stories and illustrations that serve as parables in this meeting tonight. Lord, we ask for the heaviness of God to help us. Lord, lay in upon us, and we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. All the Lord's people said,
amen.
Amen. I want to give you a burden before I preach tonight to pray for us. And the 29th of this month, we're going to Eastern Europe, to Albania, where we have a ministry there. I talked to my two missionaries this morning before I met with the pastor at the Cracked Barrel. It was a Cracker Barrel, but when we left, it was a Cracked Barrel. We just tore it up. And there were some hogs that made a sacrifice, some chickens made a donation. And I was down there in the parking lot talking to my missionary in Albania. And so you pray for us. My heart's very stirred. The Lord's enlarged our missions. We got two missionaries now going to Africa. We have one, maybe two, maybe three praying about going to Asia. Got a man going to Japan that's talking to his pastor, and they want to join our board. And we've had to expand it and call it World Harvest Baptist Missions. I shared with the pastor my heart today and some of the needs that we have, financial needs that we have for this trip. And I want you to obey the Lord and do what He tells you and to help us in this. But I want you to pray. You can go on my website, deanmcneese.com. If you don't know how to do that, get your six-year-old, and they'll have it up just like that right there. Some of y'all get your grandkids, and they'll pull it all up, turn it on, find it for you. And you can see some pictures there of our Albania ministry. And you can see some pictures of us in Uganda, in Africa, and see some pictures in Thailand. I met a man in Kansas last week. That sounded like a song, didn't it? I met a man in Kansas last week. And Brother Emmanuel Sinoy. And he's a Filipino, but he's a missionary in Thailand. And one of the things God did out there real special last week is put our heart together. And I got another man named Charlie Schnitkel. It's a German name. I'm pretty sure that ain't how you say it. I only think he knows how to say his own name. And it's spelled all crazy. And but he's in Chiang Mai, and I got an old missionary in Chiang Rai. And so last week, one of the things God did was put me with Brother Emmanuel. I wish y'all could have been in that meeting. The power of God broke in on us. He's from the Philippines, but a missionary to Thailand. What about that? He's 41. And in the meeting last week, I'm going to say it like this, and y'all better help me. The Holy Ghost fell on us. And in such a fashion, some had never seen it before. Now, Brother Emmanuel, God hooked us up together, and he's right on the route in the northern part of Thailand where I'm going. Well, he kept coming to me last week, and every time he did, tears running. And I could sense God working mightily in his heart. All right, get this. I'm about, felt me a happy bubble right there. He was a 12-year-old bus kid. in the Philippines. That's how he got saved. He said that a missionary came. Woo! He said, and they picked me up on a bus. And he said, they brought me to children's church under a tree. That brother Josh had it under a tree. And he said, I got saved. He said, then I went to the Bible Institute there in our church in the Philippines. God called me to preach. And he said, I married a Christian girl. And God called me to preach. And then God called me to be a missionary. He's 41, got 3 children. And he kept coming to me. Like 3 times. Tears running. Pastor McNeese, would you please pray for me? I never understood what he said, but I figured it out and made half of it up. At the end of the week, he said, I've already told you his testimony. He said, but I've never had what God gave me this week. He said, some things have been resolved in my heart. And then he said, God changed my life this week. He said, I am taking this back to Thailand. And so I'm going over there with him. That's part of our missions. And me and him's arranged to include him on our next trip to Thailand. And so I want this church to pray, and I want you folks to pray about giving to that. And we need it. And then the 29th, I need some help. I don't see Brother Tim tonight. Is he working late? It's the first night he's had. Maybe he'll get here in a little bit. But Brother Tim's helped us through the years on this, and I told him he's not allowed to give. He's done give 3 times this year. And I say that since he's not here. And isn't that good? Amen. How God will bless a Christian businessman? Yes, sir. Amen. I bless the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to say something. You better say amen. Ain't the Lord been helping us around here? Brother Burke, thank you for helping us and making, God's made you a part of this. And I thank the Lord for it. And I don't want to schedule myself, but we all want to come over to your place sometime. Me and brother, I have a preacher friend over here and he's real sharp. He's a real sharp friend. We want to come to your place and let the Lord help us. I'm praying that God, the Lord can rearrange everything. We'll just see what God does. Amen. See what God does around here. Are you in 2 Samuel 6? Let's all stand. I normally don't do that, but I feel there's a holiness here tonight. Felt it all day. Thank you, Lord. 2 Samuel 6, and we'll see the scripture tonight. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and 3. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts. And I'm glad I know God, ain't you? Amen. What about the old song? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. That's a mistake. Brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeon, Uzzah, and Ahio. The sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. All right, you can be seated. Let's continue reading. Look in verse 4. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. I'm in verse 5, 2 Samuel 6. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came, the Nashon threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and somebody better be afraid of God. I'm going to say something right here, and I'm not fussing at you or your church. It's just something that bothers me across the country on how irreverent we are in our old-fashioned services. Amen. You don't have to have rich clothes, but this ain't a picnic. Amen. You don't have to have fancy clothes. It's all right to have poor clothes and coming in. But this ain't the backyard. This ain't a picnic. This ain't Walmart. It's the house of God. Amen. And it grieves the Holy Ghost at how irreverent we are. And I'm talking to our old-fashioned country Baptist church. We train our children that this is a living room, and you don't discipline them in your living room, and you don't discipline them down here either. I need a little help right there. And I'm not fussing at none of y'all. Just across the country. Somebody better fear God. Somebody better find God. And somebody better train another generation how to act in front of God. And I'm not a formal Baptist preacher because I ain't Roman Catholic. I'm not into formalism. I'm not a Catholic. This is not cold ceremonies and religious rituals. But I'm not a contemporary or charismatic either. I'm not informal. I just want to make sure I'm up to form. And we're not formal or informal. What we need to be is spirit-filled. And there are times that your church, it ought to be as comfortable as this is our family living room. But it ought not ever be irreverent. It ought not ever be carnal. It ought not ever be improper. It ought not ever be impolite. And then there are times when our God strikes in thunder, and it ain't time to be lounging and whispering. Amen. Casual and carrying on. Help me now. There ain't nothing going on right here that I'm talking about. This service. I'm fine with everything right here tonight. But I'm telling you, you see this across the country. And this contemporary movement is teaching people that, you know, Jesus is your pal. I'm going to high five him on the way, you know. We're going to watch the game after we meet at the Father's house and all that junk. Let me tell you something. Sunday ought to be the Lord's day. You ought to be against everything going on Sunday that ain't church. Amen. NASCAR, NFL, the last day of Masters, which would be my weakness to want to watch that. Everything going on the Lord's day, it ought to be a blasphemy. Help me right there. You say, we ain't under the law and this ain't the Sabbath. Well, honey, we're under grace and it ought to be Sunday. It ought to be even more important, I think. Well, I'm in verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And we need somebody to fear God in our day. And said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. David, you can't sacrifice them skinny ings. There ain't nothing on them. See right there. I got scripture for all my fellow belly brothers. Right there. Amen. And the fatling. Look in verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle. That, and by the way, that's the goal. That's the end purpose of even this revival. That God's glory and God's presence and God's power would be right back where it's supposed to be. And when you come out of this meeting, whenever that is, when we come out of this meeting, God ought to be back in his place. And we ought to be put in our place. Let's finish reading in verse 17. That David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. That's reading the 17 verses of 2 Samuel 6. If the Lord will help us, I'll preach for a little while tonight on the ramifications of real revival. The ramifications of real revival. You can't have been a part of this meeting and ever be the same again. For good or for bad. Some of you will concrete your own condemnation. You resist God in this meeting and you may never have another chance to get right again. And some of you, or the Lord's passing by, have thrown your lot in to go with God and you'll never be the same. Amen. You won't even be able to backslide the same. That's what I told the church out of them. They was in 3 weeks of meeting down in another part of Tennessee this summer. And it actually in 6 weeks, because they'd been a part, they'd been a big part of a meeting and another meeting. And they went to church 3 weeks and then in their own church 3 weeks. And on that last week is one of the holiest weeks I've ever had in my ministry, and I told you, you're not even going to be able to backslide the same. Amen. You'll never go as far, you'll backslide and won't even be as far back as the starting point when you started getting right 6 weeks ago. Oh, y'all ain't helping me, I didn't make sense. Amen, amen. They'd started right here and went that far with God, and you backslide, and God ain't going to let you go back as far as where you start. Amen. And you're not going to be able to be the same. And I want to look at this tonight out of the scriptures, the ramifications of revival. Number one, let's examine this in verse 2. And we're going to outline this with D's tonight. If you want to take notes, there should be 6 points before we're done, if the Lord goes that way. Verse 2, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. Number one, I want to talk about why some people desire revival. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 6 had said that in the days of Saul, none inquired at the ark of God. It was sitting down in the woods. It was in a field. Brother Jamie, it's either Psalm 132 or Psalm 138. Beautiful psalm where David said, we heard of it and we found it. And we found it in the fields of the woods. Amen. He went after it. And that ark sat down there in the backwoods for 20 years or better from the time that you remember Ichabod. And that ark was taken by the Philistines. Well, honey, in the days of Saul, nobody inquired after the presence and the power of God. But in the days of the first piece of business that he attended to on the throne, boy, they make promises, don't they, on what we'll do the first day we're in office. Amen. David made a brother, he obviously had it in his heart, and the first thing he did in the first piece of business under his kingly administration was he said, somebody, we're going to go get that ark. And amen. And aren't you glad that some folk have a desire for revival? Seems like revival skips a generation. You read the book of Judges. There'd be a generation, they'd seek after God. And in the next 20 or 30 or 40 years, they'd forsake God. And then God would raise up a champion, a judge, and they'd seek God and bring revival. And then all their kids would backslide and grandkids, and they'd leave God. You read Judges, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I think this has happened in our generation. You hear me just for a second. I may or may not know exactly what I'm talking about, but I think there may be some wisdom here. The last time you seen the power of God visit us in America, that it was in the 50s and the 60s. Amen. Brother, I grew up around a generation of preachers that all got saved and called in the 60s. Amen. And the power of God sweeping through the churches. And then here come the Beatles, and somebody should have sprayed them with roach. Amen. Here came drugs and sex and rock and roll, and a lot of you mad because you had some old preachers that preached on some hard standards, and all they're trying to do is to keep their daughters out of a naked hippie commune. Help me right there. And honey, there came a generation in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and a bunch of church kids was raised up, and they had seen God and they knew God, but they took God for granted and got tired of God, and there's too much pleasure in America. And brother, you had a generation that had revival, and in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you had 30 to 40 years where you've not seen these types of meetings. And brother, it skips a generation. Somehow it does. And there'll be a returning generation. And David, honey, he went after that ark. And I want to tell you something, brother, in the hour that we live, I'm a seeing here and there, and I've been seeing it for 5 to 7 years. 5, 6, 7 years that young people across this country are having revival. That's what I've been seeing. I'm a young man, if you ask these older ones. I'm only 47, but I started when I was 13, preached my first revival. When I was 16, they kept me in a basement in Asheville, North Carolina. Had pink stationery and a green ink pen. All my sermons, they're in a box somewhere. Pink stationery and a green ink pen. I think I was in the borrowing business back in those days. Amen. Never will forget, Brother Jamie, somebody had bought me a suit, and it was a blue pinstripe. It was 6 inches too long for a couple of years, and then Sister Sievert, it was 6 inches too short for a couple of years. As my preaching suit, is like I thought it was a rabbit's foot, but I couldn't preach without it. And somebody gave me my first offering I ever got in my life, and they went and bought a pair of shoes. And then I remember when I got home, they made fun because I'd bought a pair of old man walking shoes, and they were tan. They were tan as that bench, and I wore them old man walking shoes, the color of that, with a blue suit. But I didn't know and didn't care. And to be honest, I still don't know, don't care today. But oh, listen, the Lord, I've been pursuing him for 34 years. And what's going on the last 5, 6, 7 summers with the young people. And then there's some young preachers that God's raising up. And I mean in their 20s or 30s or 40s. But some young men that are new in the ministry. And they're hungry for God. One thing that has fed this goofy contemporary movement is a bunch of people sitting in dead churches that are tired of dead churches. Amen. And they go to that mega church where they're hopping around and carrying on and loose and acting like they're alive. It ain't eternal life and it ain't holy life, but it's more lively than what looks like a funeral home back at some of our dead churches. Well, I don't need liveliness. I need life. Amen. But I understand why some of them do what they do. They're deceived, but they're looking for something. Why do some folk desire revival? And David had it in his heart. I'm going to tell you one thing, brother. He was king now. He had reigned in Hebron 7 years and 6 months. And then the nation came and got him and said, you need to be our king. Amen. And the first thing he'd done when he got up here, he said, we're going to go get God. Amen. Wonder where that came from. Amen. That came from a little feller with a harp. Yes, sir. Sitting out there in a little flock. Right. And no wonder if he dreamed, if the day ever comes that I get to do what I want to do. This God I'm talking to out here, just me and God, just a little feller and God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate, listen, if God sent us 10,000 people into this meeting, I'd be fine with that. And we'd God would use that. But I'm fine with thinking that God, working on one 16-year-old girl and her little sister, that God working on you 14 or 15. A 14-year-old boy that comes without his parents. Amen. Greets me with a smile every night at the front porch. And if God, one little shepherd boy. Amen. If God, a little girl like Amber, if the Lord set up all this just for one little girl. That youngin may grow up one day and God give her something and she could turn half the world upside down.
That's right. That's right.
David sitting out there playing that harp, looking at them stars, watching them sheep. God letting him kill lions and bears and tigers. Oh my, oh my. Hold on, that's a cereal commercial. I believe that lion and that bear came together. Bible said it then. Said, behold, there came a bear and a lion. They came the same day at the same moment. That's another message for another day. Oh, and he killed them there. God let him kill. Whew. He had it deep in his heart. He had it deep in his heart. A love for God. I was reading Galatians over here while y'all singing a while ago. A priest, beautiful singing. What about that? Have a wife and a mother-in-law singing the glory of God. What a blessing. Brother Tom and Brother Josh, they surely don't, they're both married up. There ain't no doubt. There ain't no doubt. Tell him I said, and tell him I liked his little sport coat the other night. I almost put oil in my hair and got me one. It was pretty, but. Oh, my. I remember being a little boy out there in them woods and that pine tree. God filled me with the Holy Ghost and put some big things in my heart. Honey, we're going to need somebody to have a desire for God. Let me say something about this. In the days of Saul, nobody inquired after it. That was 1 Chronicles 13, verse 6. Nobody inquired at it in the days of Saul. Saul's the type of the flesh. David's the type of the spirit. Saul's the type of the old man. David's the type of the new man.
Amen.
Saul was a man-made king.
Amen.
They anointed him. They poured oil on him out of a clay vessel.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
The people chose him because he's tall and good looking. Yep. Kind of like me and Brother Sharp. If you could like merge us together, we'd be a complete man. Saul! He stood head and shoulders. God wasn't enough for the people. They wanted to be, they had some idolatry in their hearts. They wanted to be like all their neighbors. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. He was ordained out of a man-made vessel. He was chosen for his tall, good looks. And brother, before the thing was done, pride came and judgment came. And he had to fall on his own sword. That's the only way you're going to kill the old man is he's got to willingly fall on the sword. Don't make me start another sermon. That old man's got to willingly fall on the sword. And then David can get to the throne. Help me right there. David was, he was anointed with oil by that horn. A God-made thing. They took the crown off of the, they took that crown and that horn and filled it with off of a ram filled it with oil. They took the crown of the lamb and filled it with oil. Don't make me start another message up in here. Poor, and he was God chosen. Help me now.
Amen.
And when Saul was confronted with his sin, he said, it's everybody else's fault. And please don't take away from me. Let's bargain for it. But when David was confronted with his sin, he immediately said, I have sinned. And he put a period on it and he left it up to God what would happen to him. It's the flesh. It's the spirit. It's the old man, the new man. And I want to say, as long as Saul is ruling in our churches, ain't nobody going to look for revival. As long, honey, as Saul is and man and flesh and majority rule, as long as that's what's running our churches, ain't nobody going to go find God. It's going to be like all the other churches. Y'all better help me. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Sharp and Brother Burke and the other pastors that are here. You got a responsibility. You're going to give account for this flock. And there ain't no charter member that you ought to bow down to. There ain't no bossy deacon that you ought to bow down to. There ain't no deacon's wife getting mad. Let her get mad. Honey, you're going to have revival. Let her get mad. Too often in our churches, we cater to about two people and the other 200 starve and die. Help me now. 200 people kept in the wilderness because somebody's afraid to hurt two people's feelings. I say put them behind my Chevy when I lead the night. I'll accelerate rapidly. Take care of your problem for you. Amen. I wish that could fix it, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But I'm going to tell you something, man of God, and these preachers and pastors in this 21st century, you're going to have to quell that rebellion. You're going to have to squelch that apostasy, and you're going to have to silence the reprobates in your church, or you'll never have revival. As long as Saul's sitting on the throne, flesh, man, the majority's choice. If you go to a church where there's a man of God in charge, you ought to thank the Lord for it. And if somebody's mad at him, you ought to be mad at them. Amen. Tell them to check the trunk of your car and then back up like rapidly. Why some people desire. I was down in Alabama and there's half Holy Ghost and half redneck. Can I get a little witness right there? There's no boy coming there to get in the pastor's face. He come in there and he go, three men grabbed him. They took him out back. Nine more men joined him and 12 men put him on the wall. And they convinced him that around here, you don't mess with our preacher.
Amen.
Take me to Waffle House and I'll tell you the whole story with full details. You got to buy the chili. Oh my. I'm just glad that somebody desires revival.
Amen.
And it's the spiritual man. It's the spiritual man. I'm taking a little time here and I'm doing it on purpose. Why some people desire revival. Now, honey, did you know that the only reason you ain't getting anything from God is because you ain't wanting anything? It is that simple. Hey, 10 million invitations in that Bible where God's calling you to come to Him. Every other verse is a promise, and we're the only ones that are not stepping into them. Can I get a witness right there? Oh, my. Number two, go down to verse 3. They set the ark of God upon a new cart. Drave the new cart. Number two, I want to talk about why some people design revival. Honey, you can't design revival. Can I get a witness right there? There's some people that desire revival. But then, honey, if you're not careful, man will jump in there and he'll start to try to design it. Amen. The ark of God was to be carried on wooden staves by Levites.
Amen.
I'm going to say something. Y'all say amen. Save yourself 20 minutes in the penalty box. We got to do things by that Bible. We got to do things by the Word of God. No more, no less. No more and no less. But see, them Philistines, when they stole that ark, they put it on a cart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The church ain't supposed to do things the way the world does them. This ain't Main Street and this ain't Wall Street. Shut down your business meetings, open up some prayer meetings. Let the pastor and four men with good sense go in the back room and talk about how to get a new van or a new roof or new carpet. We don't need all this fussing and fighting. Amen. Shut down your business meetings, open up some prayer meetings. Well, what about Robert's Rules of Orders? You find that for me between Genesis and Revelation, I'll go along with you. Amen. But we got to have all our paperwork in order. The trustees and the corporation and the government and the IRS and the committee. Honey, I wish they'd arrest half of us. We'd break out in a real prayer meeting for the first time in a long time. I'm sorry, the apostles didn't call David Gibbs, CLA, or any other lawyer. When they got arrested, they didn't bring out their civil rights. They went to praying and went to calling on God. This last generation church is ruled by fear and not by faith. We got the inventory, we're going to get the business, and the bank needs the minutes. Why don't God's people start giving tithes and offerings, and you might not need the bank's permission for nothing? Help me right there. Last time I seen Moses getting a big building program, he didn't go back to Egypt and find the banker. Hey, we got that. Well, we got to have some minutes. Well, who are your trustees? What they done was they called for an offering. And they kept bringing stuff until it was overflowing Moses. And the word free will is in that chapter half a dozen times. And Moses had to say, hey, y'all quit giving. We're overflowing here. You don't need permission from the bank or the government or the IRS. They've told me for several years now, you better quit saying that. They're going to call the Secret Service. And honey, they might call a secret service. But I have an unsecret service. I got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. What if you get arrested? Well, what preacher hadn't got arrested in the last few centuries? We're the first ones trying to get along with the government and holding hands. Help me right there. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We don't need man's ways. The Philistines don't know how to carry the ark.
That's right. That's good.
It's a lazy outfit that wants to do it the work. Hey, if we just put it on a cart, them oxen. No, honey. I read Galatians over here. I was having my morning devotions at like 7:20 in front of y'all. And Galatians 6. I was only 12 hours late. I got them in. Galatians 6 said, for every man shall bear his own burden. Them wooden staves, it's a picture of the cross. You're supposed to carry the ark on your shoulder under a wooden staff. It's a picture of carrying the cross. And we got a generation we like to hire our Christianity out. Let's get a pastor and let him be our Christian. Rest of us will just be carnal Americans. Let's get two singers and they'll be our worshipers. And we'll just sit there and be spectators. Because we're used to being entertained anyway. Let's just watch them as they worship. And let's hire all these youth pastors and associates and all these staff. And we'll let them all do the work of the Lord while we go be carnal Americans. Making our money. And sorry, God, we're just too busy. We ain't got time for you. Don't you understand? This is 21st century. It's America. We're busy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm going to say something fixing getting in a lot of trouble. You ready? Jamie, you crank up my Chevy and have it waiting right here. Pastor, I promise you'll walk me out. Honey, my mama raised six kids. Four of us preachers, the two girls, one's married to a preacher and one runs a Christian school. All six kids in the ministry. And it's the grace of God. But mama walked away a long time. She quit the bank before I was born. And she went home. You say, well, we can't afford to do that no more. Really? Tell me exactly what you can't afford to do. Our kids don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. What can you afford and not afford? Bible said for them younger women to be keepers at home. Yes. This is Thursday night.
Come on,
they might can handle it. Yep. Bible said for them younger women to be keepers at home. Yep. And for the older women to teach, not in church, but to teach the younger women how to be godly mamas and loving wives.
Amen.
I need a little help. All right, this is where you're going to have to drive me off and you're going to have to see me out. If we did things God's way,
yeah.
I may run for president. This will be my platform. I got to go with blonde hair first. I'm going to have to dye it. It's a blonde election year. You can be my vice president. Aunt, sister aunt. What if we did things God's way? I'm talking about man's way and the world's way. If every woman went home, every child would have a mother. Every husband would have his wife and maybe quit being so interested in other people's wives. Every man would have a job. Lester Roloff said you would right the economy immediately. If every woman went home, every man would have a job. Every child would have a mother. Every husband would have a wife. Watch this. And every church would have servants. Who served Jesus? Who served him at the cross? Who served him at the tomb? It was the women. That's totally free. I understand probably 80% of you maybe squirming a little bit right now. Hope you still love me after tonight. And when I run for president on this platform, just vote for me. I'm a better choice than the other two.
Amen. Yes.
We're not doing our homes God's way.
Yeah.
And we're not doing our churches God's way.
Amen.
It's a little too old-timey, isn't it?
No,
fourth
no.
pew. That's a little too old-timey for this generation, ain't it? It's a little too old-timey for them.
Amen.
But our kids today don't even know what they are.
Yes.
Where do y'all think that's coming from? They ain't had a mama or a daddy in several decades.
Amen.
And down at the house of God, this contemporary movement comes right out of hell. You better believe that.
Amen.
Church for people that don't like church. We're going to have a church that the world likes. That ought to make you so nervous. That ought to make you so nervous. To go to a church that the world, the lost Egyptian world, loves. Jesus said, the world hates me, they're going to hate you. Why some people design revival. Me and Brother Sharp sat there at the Cracker Barrel right before we cracked it. And about this meeting, we were talking, and he said, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Don't know how to do. And I said, man, I don't know. We don't even know what God's doing. And I don't know. And we just kept explaining to each other how we couldn't explain none of this. He said, what do you think about next week? He said, I don't know. And he said, I don't know what to do either. He said, well, how's it going to work tonight and tomorrow? And he's like, I don't know. I just don't know. And I was like, man, I don't know either. I hate to tell you all this, but the two guys in charge right there, we have no idea. We're clear. We don't know. We just don't know. And after a while, I told him, isn't that wonderful? That this is a God thing. I'm going to keep our hands off of it. Keep our hands off of it! Honey, you can't design revival.
Amen.
What about the first real revival that took place outside of the Jewish economy? When God moved outside the Jewish economy? First revival that took place? Jonah. Went to the capital of Assyria, Nineveh. It's where them Muslim terrorists are coming from now. These are ancient enemies. This ain't the first time we've seen this. I need a little witness. Amen. God put him over there in the heart of that outfit. And he got saved. What did it say there at the end? 600,000? That couldn't even tell the difference in their... It's children? So what was the population of the adults? The first revival that we see where God brought revival on a whole city, it blows up all the formulas. All right, the first revival took place was preached by a preacher who did not want it to happen. And he got mad when it did. He's a plumatic God. I thought he was going to kill them. They all got saved. I was wanting them to go to hell. Next week. All right, the first revival, the preacher didn't want it and nobody prayed for it. There wasn't a prayer meeting nowhere. There wasn't one prayer nowhere. The only prayer that came was after he come in there and pronounced judgment and the old king of Nineveh. And this was a strange prayer. He just said, who can tell if God will turn, repent, and change his mind? And he put sackcloth and ashes on and he covered the whole country in sackcloth and ashes, even the beast, which tells you there's some bad stuff going on if they had to sanctify the beast. You said, well, that ain't happening in our hour. Honey, what about that beast in Revelation? You tell me this, you tell me that this generation ain't in love with the beast and the image of the beast? What about all these images? I'm going to spend 10 seconds right here. What about all these images that we live with on our phones and laptops and computers and televisions and billboards? These folks' parents, they grew up, there wasn't no images nowhere. There was one newspaper without pictures. And it circulate quarterly. Help me now. Y'all don't reckon all these images are straight from hell? Amen. That's a beast. That first revival that happened outside the Jewish economy with the heathen. Nobody prayed for it. The preacher didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. I mean, that messes Chronicles 7:14 all up. If my people would call. And that's all right for us to borrow that, but that's actually a promise to Israel and her land. That ain't in the church epistles. And it's all right to borrow it. You're not doing harm to the scriptures to pray that. But you better understand the primary application, what God would do to Israel's land. America's not Israel. God ain't one bit interested in reviving the nation of America. It'll probably go directly against his plans. With everything that's going down, America's got to go down for all the nations to come against Jerusalem. Help me now. He ain't going to revive this country. He ain't interested in that. But boy, howdy, what if he revived the Christians in this country? Amen. What if he saved a bunch of sinners in this nation while it is going down? Amen. You understand? You can't design this. You can't design this. I've been a part of several meetings in my years that went and went and went and got bigger and bigger. And it's amazing that halfway through, everybody started jumping on board and explaining to everybody else why it happened. Well, if you knew why it happened, why hadn't you done it before? Amen. It's all sovereign. Help me now. You can't design this. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. You can't define this. I don't care if me, Burke, and Sharp, which would be a pretty good trio right there, we went back to the cracked barrel and tried to put it back together and sat up till 2 in the morning and defined everything that was going on. Even with those three great theological minds, we'd just be impressing each other. Amen. This thing's so much bigger than all of us. It's just God. Amen. You can't design this Number three. Y'all doing all right? Come down to verse 7. I mentioned a while ago we're going to keep our hands off of it. And here's why. In verse 7, it said he died by the ark of God, Uzzah. In verse 6, put his hand to the ark of God. Why some people desire revival? Why some people try to design revival? And tell us how to bring God back? And then why some people die in revival? I said this a while ago and I'm going to say it to you again. The Lord's passing by. And just like in the Gospels, the day after he is gone, who was going to get saved got saved. And who rejected Christ is eternally reprobated. Amen. Honey, when the Lord's passing by, you better call on him while he's near. Amen. It is a whosoever will gospel, but it ain't a whensoever will gospel. The scariest places to be in your life is anywhere near the altar of God when the fire is burning. God will bring judgment quick. I'll start telling stories as the Lord brings to my mind. Let me tell you something, honey. You better not mess with God. Not when he's on the move. You get in the way, he'll run over you. I went to Bible school in Jacksonville, Florida. That dear man of God, some of you used to go down to Ed Ballou's meeting there. And you know that big church and big college is down there. It's pitiful now. It's an apostasy now. Back in the 40s, maybe 50s, old Dr. Graves, just a young man. God put him on Macduff Avenue. Started breathing revival, people getting saved every week in the power of God. He was a young upstart pastor. He come out on the front porch one Sunday and a deacon standing there smoking a cigarette. Brother Gray said to him, "Sir, you know we've set a policy around here now. Please don't smoke on the front porch. God's bringing sinners in. And I'd hate for somebody to go to hell because of your smoke." I mean, it's pretty lenient. Just go around back or go under a tree, get out of sight or something. And I'm not. But old Brother Gray said, "We've set that policy." That deacon took a big drag, blew it in his face. He said, "Let me tell you something, you young squirt. I was a deacon around here long before you ever come around. I'll be a deacon around here long after you're gone. I'll smoke my cigarettes where I want." And Dr. Gray, a humble man, he just walked off the porch and he went behind the church and he got on his knees and he prayed for that man. Prayed for God to deal with that situation. Y'all know where this story is going, don't you? 2 a.m. that night. 2 a.m. that same night. That man traveled, traveling businessman. The phone rung. It was that man's wife screaming. Called the pastor's house screaming. And that man in his motel room on his business trip that night fell asleep in the bed smoking a cigarette. And the fireman said, "Brother Tommy, the only thing that burned was his body and the mattress where his body was laying. Nothing else burned." See, it burned completely up. Old Dr. Gray, the same year, maybe the same time frame, around the same year or two, coming in there. God taking over that church. Thousands going to be saved through the years. Coming there, and he brought in back in those days old Dr. John R. Rice with the sword of the Lord. May have been the same year. One of them old head deacons come up to the young pastor, Brother Gray, said, "We don't like John R. Rice. We don't like his stand. We don't like his preaching." And he said, "Over my dead body is he going to preach here in this church?" And Dr. Gray said, "Okay, that's the deal." He went and prayed for him. About a week later, they put up the banner, John R. Rice preaching. That deacon dropped dead of a heart attack on something like a Saturday. And on a Tuesday, they rolled his body in there under John R. Rice's name on the banner. And Brother Gray said, "Let's go ahead and honor the old deacon's request. It's what he wanted. And Brother Rice, you go ahead and preach." He said he wanted you to preach over his dead body. And he preached him. You said, "Did anybody say anything?" "Not really." They just kind of kept it to themselves. It bothered them at that point. Old Dr. Percy Ray, Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. 50s, 60s, 70s. 80s. Got a stroke in the late 80s. Died in 91 or 92. Had that great camp meeting in Myrtle, Mississippi. Every preacher you know was filled with the Holy Ghost either directly through or indirectly through that man's ministry. You come tell me any great preacher you know, any good preacher you know, and I guarantee you we can run a line back to where either he or his pastor went to Camp Zion and got filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been out there to the place, Camp Zion, seen that altar he'd lay himself on. It was about 9 feet. It was iron, too heavy almost to lift. That man would lay his, he'd lay his body on that altar sometimes 4 or 5 days at a time. And when he rolled off that altar, he had a word for somebody. He'd write them a letter and tell them what God wanted them to know, and then he'd deliver it, hand-delivered. And in all them stories of him winning souls and dealing with the souls of men, if he brought you a letter, you either got saved or got dead. He went to see Elvis Presley, the king. I was in the National Archives, Washington, D.C., one of them Smithsonian museums. When I walked in there and they rotate those papers out, our nation's heritage, they rotate them papers. There's always something different in there. And I read a handwritten letter of apology from Elvis Presley to the President of the United States in the 50s. Who would that have been? Truman? Eisenhower? It was when Elvis Presley went on the Ed Sullivan Show. And he got nationally censored for moving his hips. And he wrote a letter of apology to the President of the United States for offending the nation and for leading young people astray. I think he was a saved man. He stayed under conviction the whole time. And he was chastened and he died early. I think Elvis was a saved man. He stayed under conviction. And if you'll find one of them late night infomercials are trying to sell his stuff, and you watch him a-singing, they said he couldn't go 3 songs without stopping and saying, "Boys, let's do an old gospel song." And he'd go to crying. Myrtle, Mississippi, 60 miles one way on that old highway to Memphis. Elvis Presley was laying in the hospital in Memphis. Dr. Percy Ray had laid on that altar and he rolled off of there and God told him to go see Elvis Presley. He wrote him a letter, the burden on his heart, and then delivered it. Said there's, Brother Eddie, said there's 200 people from the media. They wouldn't let him in. The whole world was there, Elvis Presley, 2 weeks before he died. But they sent word in, the preacher's here. He knew him. Elvis Presley said, "Let that preacher come in here." Dr. Percy Ray walked down that hospital hallway. Florsheim wingtips. Mr. Florsheim made him his wingtips every year. Mr. Florsheim. Wearing a Stetson cowboy hat, and Mr. Stetson handmade his own hat for him every year. You know, America used to have some godliness about her.
Amen.
And said he walked in there. The only reason I know this story, his driver was a young man. He's an old man now, Earl Farley. And Brother Farley told me this story himself. Showed me some of it. And he said, old Dr. Ray, he said, crank up, son, we're going. And he said, I walked next to Dr. Purser, walked behind him. Come in that room, and he laid that letter on Elvis Presley's chest and patted it on his chest. And he said, Mr. Presley, here's what Brother Farley said that he said, I don't know if you're saved or not, but God sent me down here to tell you for you to repent of your sin and get up off his sick bed and walk back out them doors, and you lead the young people of this nation into a revival, or God's going to kill you. Let me tell you something, music's powerful.
Yes.
I'm going to say something. We're being a little too old-timey for this generation tonight, girls. Let me tell you something. Rock music and country music, all of it straight out of hell. It'll put demon spirits in you. You ought not watch American Idol I've Got Talent, whatever it is. MySpace, Your Face. America's Got Talent, The Voice. I need a little help right here. If you get full of the Spirit, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Rock music's got demonic demons. Country music's got depressing demons and depraved demons. I'd rather hear George Jones. Oh, yes, I have an old nature. I love George Jones' music a lot better than Bob Jones' music. I don't even know if some of them don't know what that means. I can be walking through Walmart in an elevator. I pull into your barbecue place over there, Full Service Barbecue, Merchants Drive, Full Service. And boy, Willie and Waylon, they singing. I think they're singing just for me. I rolled down my window and enjoyed it too much. And when he starts loving her today and took that black wreath, I went and bought 10 black wreaths and put them on every door I could find. I was brokenhearted. I didn't even know the woman, but it broke my heart. Music's powerful. And it's pulling you either to hell or it's pulling you to heaven. It's either pulling you to flesh or it's pulling you to Christ. You monkey with it if you want to. You act like it don't matter. Crank up your car on the way home, young people, and turn on that junk and see in 2 seconds you'll lose every Holy Ghost that got on you in here. He laid that letter on Elvis Presley's chest and said, I'll be back in this same room and you'll be laying here dead if you don't do what God's told you. Turn around and walked out. 2 weeks later, Brother Farley said we walked down the same hallway in the same room where they had his dead body. Let me tell you something, when God's passing by, you can't play with that.
Amen.
There's folks supposed to be here. And I ain't talking about preachers or churches. There's people that are dying and going to hell and they felt a tug. They've been resisting that drawing. They're all around this church. They've seen it on Facebook and they know they're supposed to be here. They've heard about it through a friend, and the Holy Ghost said, come. You reach out and lay your hand on the move of God and on the power of God. Honey, you liable to pull back a leper's hand if he's merciful? Or are you liable to just fall over dead? This is serious business. It's more than serious. This is eternal. This is eternal business. Well, I think I'm done. Let me give you the other three without preaching them. Look in verse 11. What did I say in verse 2? Why some people desire revival. Verse 3, why some people try to design revival. Verse 7, why some people die in revival. In verse 8, why some people are distressed. David was displeased. That boy got killed. You know why Uzzah felt comfortable reaching out and touching that ark? Because it had been in his house and in his yard. He was a boy and he grew up around it. Are y'all listening to me? And he probably played all around it and played all over it. And honey, you can monkey with this stuff when it's just sitting there dormant. But when God gets up and he's on the move, brother, he's going to save a nation or kill an individual. It's eternal business. When that ark got on the move, number one, it wouldn't have needed fixing by man if they hadn't have done it man's way. They put it on that cart, and that's why it was wobbly. Honey, if you start out doing it man's way, you're going to have to get a man to keep it from falling over. Reading so much of this stuff don't work in our church and don't work in your life because you're doing it the world's way. And then you're going to have to try to fix it the world's way. David got distressed. He said, how are we going to do this? They shut her down. This revival had two waves. It got shut down for several months. Look what happened in the meantime, verse 11. Not just why some people are distressed. Look what he said in verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? May have been too much me in him. I got me circled there for some reason. Lord must have spoke to me at some time in the past. It got shut down because it was about David. It's coming to me. It got picked back up when it was about God. Now it's just coming home. This revival can't be about Dean McNeese being a wonderful evangelist. This revival can't be about Joshua Sharp being a great pastor. This revival can't be about Northside Baptist Church, a wonderful church. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about the nation. Shut it down. God dealt with the me business. Why some people receive dividends. God started blessing everybody in Obed-Edom's house. Come down to verse 14. Why some people dance in revival. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And then you come down two verses later. Michael, Saul's daughter, she despised. Why some people despise revival. Hey. Some people are going to dance before the Lord. Amen. With everything they got. When God comes back. Amen. And some people are going to be up in the wind. People are up in the wind to separate themselves from the parade. They stay in their house and they look at it through a barrier. She despised him. There'll be people watching this. There's people watching y'all and watching this. And they refuse to leave their house. They refuse to come down and honor God. They don't want to be a part of the revival. And they'll look down on you through a window. And they'll despise what's going on. And everything that happens, they'll criticize. But them girls are all just emotional. Well, that Brother Sharp, he's just friends with that crazy guy from Georgia. That sounded funny talking about yourself. Well, I think it's all just emotionalism. Well, they're just making all that stuff up. They're in the wrong family.
Amen. Yes.
Do you know she was David's wife, but the Bible called her Saul's daughter? You might be in the family, but you might not be one of the family.
Amen.
You could be in here, but what's in here is not in you.
Yes.
The Bible will tell on you. Saul's daughter. She's of the old flesh family, of the old kingdom family. Why some people die. Why some people are distressed. Why some people receive dividends. Why some people dance.
Amen.
Why some people despise. I'll tell this story and we'll give an altar call. And I was 21, still finishing Bible school, and I did finish. God don't use quitters, he don't use lazy people, and he don't use people that ain't never developed character.
Amen.
That was totally free. I still finished in school. Little church out in the country called me. Old Dr. Gray gave me permission to go. I got out there and I was a dancing and a shouting. That's how they found me. They was all in a big meeting, about 900 people in old St. Augustine Road. And Squire Parsons was singing, "Hello, Mama." And I cut a rug. I didn't know I was going to. This guy was up shouting and hollering and dancing, and I looked and it was me. Whoa! Because my mama prayed me out. Had a bad 14 and 15, age 14 and age 15. Hell nearly got me. Hell nearly got me! But Mama prayed me out and Daddy Amen. Preached me in. And I was a shouting. On my feet. And I was the only one, too, had a 900. It was like-minded brethren. And I didn't know that little church. The three deacons were sitting in the pew behind me. I didn't know who they was. And they was needing a pastor. And later they said, that boy that shouted over there, let's find him. Brought me out there. And some of them people, they didn't like the shouting and the hopping and the running and the preaching. And the old boy said, we don't like all that. They called me the pastor and he still didn't like it. We went through the spring and the summer. He still didn't like it. We put up a tent in August in Florida. It was 209 degrees. I may have exaggerated just then just a little bit. It was 220 degrees. We put the sawdust down before the tent. I did everything backwards. We rolled that old canvas tent down and then it rained on it. We had to wait like 3 years for it to dry off. And then raised it up and all the shavings stuck to it. It was great. In the next 2.5 weeks, every time you bumped a pole or a breeze did that, it snowed. In Florida. In August. I thought it was great. I was claiming miracles. It's snowing. If I'd have had a newsletter, I'd have put it in it. That old boy said, he still didn't like that. Didn't believe all that. Till the second week when his three sons, all of them already had arrest records. Two of them already had impregnated out of wedlock. Already getting that look of the world. Till his three boys got on the altar one night with 25 other ones. And God saved about the whole youth group. And in a moment of time, he went from despising, shouting, and then became a dancer. He was behind him. Donnie Wise. He's standing behind him, leaping. He He was a strong guy, big guy. And he had them, and he was doing, he was coming off his feet, jumping like that. And he was saying, and he wasn't used to shouting, and he didn't know any spiritual words because he wasn't spiritual. So he wasn't saying hallelujah, glory, amen. Honestly, it like there was a hot dog in there. Hot dog! He's like, yeah, man! Oh, yes! This is it! Hot dog! I was crying, shouting. I kept slapping him. That's great! Woo! Thought you didn't believe in this. Woo! Hot dog! I was hollering at him while he said, I'm going to teach you some Bible words. He was leaping. And all them boys, them old rascals got saved. We went down and had some kind of banquet for all the kids at the steakhouse. You know them good old steakhouses used to Western Sizzling? Golden Corral, everything tastes exact same. Somehow the meat tastes like the vegetables, tastes like the salad. Everything tastes like, but that chocolate fountain. You just dip it under the chocolate and it's good to go. Cabbage, pork chop, broccoli. I stuck Kendall Bell under there the other day. I just took my daughter's. Yeah, this. We rented out a place, had a thing for the teenagers, pulled them curtains shut in the back of the steakhouse, got to shouting. Had to make an altar. The old boy asked to preach, the good man, he went to preaching. They started getting saved. Started shouting. We had to take a bunch of chairs, make an altar. In Stark, Brother Jamie. That Western Sizzling in Stark on Highway 301. They started coming out of the kitchen. Started coming out of the, and it was about closing time. And a bunch of the young people that worked there knew the kids in there. They's coming in. They started crying. Started getting saved. Amen. Oh. Whew. Some of them folks said, we don't like that young guy's shouts until God started saving all their kids. Then they started shouting. Amen. One man opposed me mightily. Another woman opposed me out loud. I'm not even going to tell them story. God struck him with cancer. I'm not even going to talk about her, the lady. She's a sweet lady now. She's sweet then. But is used to boss and preach, she hollered out at me. And in no time, doctor said, you're about to die, blood clot in your forehead. If you sneeze too hard, you're dead. She come before the whole church screaming, I apologize, Pastor, I apologize to the church. Please forgive me. She said, preacher, will you pray for me? This happened. I wasn't even thinking. It just happened. I smacked my hand on her forehead. I'm glad I didn't kill her. I said, yes, I will. And without thinking, I laid my hand on her forehead because that's where she was. And I, bam. Everybody came to her and said, and her husband went, I grabbed her head, prayed for her. Next week at the doctor, he said, there ain't nothing here.
Amen.
It's gone. And by the way, I had went by and had lunch with her and her old husband about 3 months ago. Amen. We're still friends. They send me a card and a nice birthday card every year. She got it right. That old man back there that tried to run me off at the end of the second year, he walked me, and he'd run many of them off. violent man. I shudder to tell you some of the stories. Shot at people, sued people, cussed people. Everybody was afraid of him. Should have been. He was dangerous. He walked up and got in my face at the end of 2 years. You sit down as soon as you're done preaching tonight. We're voting, and they're going to vote me out that night. I just followed him back. He turned around and went back. I just went with him. That wasn't a plan. I didn't know what there was this crazy guy following that crazy guy, and it was me. I just went with him. He wheeled around and sat down in his chair, and I'm not trying to sound macho because I'm not. It's just what happened. And I stood up in the bench and leaned over and preached right to him. Rebuked him. Amen. Damned him. Condemned him. Poured it on him. And the church, after all them years, that man had done that for 50 years to all of their preachers. They started standing up. Standing up. God handled it that night. That church was so used to that sort of stuff, it didn't even mess the service up. Normally that would shut things down for 6 months. Like 6 minutes later, we were past it and went right on with a good service. I'm serious. God struck him with a cancer. 11 months, they cooked him. He lived through it. But you know how he died? His wife was a good woman. And there were times that he would try to be good. But he'd done laid hands on too many of God's men. You know how he died, Brother Sharp? Older man. Four-wheeler got hung up on something in the back of the farm, spun around, and run him right into an iron something sticking out of a tractor part. And it smashed his face into it, and he never lost consciousness. It knocked all the teeth out of his head. It smashed every bone in his face. It took 20 minutes for his little wife to get out, find it out, get back around to where a phone was, his way back in the swamp, make a call, get the ambulance out there. They had to pull him off of it. If I've ever seen God smash a man's face. And he died a few days later because of that. 20 minutes. What I say unto you, I say unto you, is God's man tonight. I ain't better than nobody. I feel like the chief of sinners. Are y'all with me? But it's worth it to humble yourself before God and before your enemies throughout your life. And all I can say, Brother Sharp, that man, I wonder how that conversation sounded for 20 minutes between him and God. And I'd say there wasn't much coming from his direction. I'd say God talked to that man. I know two preachers they literally threw out of the parsonage physically. I know one man, they beat on him. He had to run out the church, and the women, he had to run through a gauntlet, and the women beat on his head with their heels. And when they got out in the road, the men threw him in the road. That's where I pastored. Y'all should have come and visited. It's having a time. I wonder how that conversation sounded. 20 minutes. It's judgment night. Pastor, another man, Brother Jamie, when you was in Palatka, you may have noticed some of these people back in your childhood. Had a man come in there, a Vietnam vet. His family was in that church. He was all messed up in several ways. He was a rebel against God, but he'd try to make friends with the preachers. You know, y'all can try to get right with people, but until you get right with God, it ain't going to be right.
Amen.
One leg missing, the other arm blowed. It was all crippled. He is in the back bedroom with the pastor's daughter. In that same outfit I'm telling you about. And that preacher walked in on that man with his daughter. That boy jumped up. He kicked the preacher with one leg and he punched him with the fist. Knocked him down and ran out. You know, when your forefathers hate and persecute the prophets, the children will too. And that man, same man, told me out of his own mouth, told me that when he stepped on that landmine in Vietnam and he went 20 foot in the air and he landed flat on his back, never lost conscious, and he said that leg was gone and that arm might well have been gone. He said, here's what he told me. He said, the Holy Ghost looked right in my face and said, you do know what this is for, don't you? That's the leg that kicked, and that's the arm that struck. And he said, I had to sit there and God looked me in my face the whole time. You do know what this is for. I'll tell you something, when God's on the move, you don't play games. You don't put your hand on God's power. I want somebody to come and softly play. Pastor, you send a pianist up here. I want the rest of us to bow our heads. It's judgment night. Do you know somebody ain't got to be here for this conviction to get on them? Holy Ghost conviction, come and lay on this church. It'll lay on this whole community. People that ain't in this building who are coming under conviction tonight. I want Christians to come and I want you to pray for sinners. Some of you need to come and thank God that He's had mercy in your life. Some of you need to come and call on God to have mercy on your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, your loved ones. When everybody stand, make it easy to move around. Some of you need to get on your knees and confess some sins. Some of you need to, somebody here might need to just come and be saved. Mm-hmm.